Let's turn in the Word of God this morning to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. As a follow-up to our last baptism sermon on the first verse, children, obey your parents, we consider this morning the fourth verse concerning the calling of Christian fathers. Let's read together this entire chapter, Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will doing service, as to the Lord, and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. So far we read the Word of God. We consider the fourth verse. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God this morning is directed specifically to fathers. We look this morning at Ephesians 6, verse 4, a well-known passage to all of us. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's a well-known passage, but a timely passage. It's a timely passage because as fathers, we all stand before God as sinners, and we know that. And we're not just sinners generally as fathers, but we're sinners with respect to this particular calling that we have to raise the children that God has given us in the fear of His name. And so it's good for us as fathers, to hear a word directed specifically to us and what it means for us as Christian fathers to raise the children that God has given to us. We preach this sermon as a follow-up to the last one. As I said before, we read Scripture. We considered last time the calling that children have, as it's expressed in Ephesians 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And very much connected to that is what we now have in verse 4. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. The two go together. Children are to obey parents, and fathers are to encourage them and guide them and direct them in such a way that they obey them. Fathers can do one of two things, as we read in the text. On the one hand, they can provoke their children to wrath so that by what they do, it does not lead to obedience in very explicit ways. Or on the other hand, they can raise them in a way that's well-pleasing to God, to the end that it guides and directs them in the obedience that they show to their parents. So let's look this morning at the calling of Christian fathers. I'm actually going to preach this passage in two sermons. I had a lot of it done and then finished it yesterday. I had my outline and simply had too much by the time I got to the second part of the sermon. So what we're going to do this morning is look at the first point, the high responsibility, and then look at the second place, the negative calling of what it means to provoke children to wrath. And then spend an entire sermon on the positive later, either next week or at our next baptism, developing the idea of raising children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and how that applies specifically to fathers and what fathers can do and must do in regards to that calling. So this morning we look at the high responsibility of Christian fathers and then the negative calling, the first part of the text. The Apostle Paul addresses fathers in verse 4. And I go back to the very first comments that I made in the sermon on verse 1 with respect to children. What's important when we look at these specific admonitions that Paul gives to these specific people in chapter 6 is to understand that Paul gives these in light of what he says in the very first verse of the epistle. In the very first verse, he addresses the saints that are in the church of Ephesus, the holy ones, those who belong to God and by the work of Jesus Christ are holy. And that governs who Paul is talking to when he gets to chapter 6 and addresses all of these specific groups. It was children, not just all children, but children that are saints. Holy ones, those who belong to Christ belong to the church. And the same thing rings true here with fathers. He's not first and foremost addressing all of the fathers in the world, although this calling comes in a very real way to fathers. This is what it means for fathers to love God with all of their heart, mind, soul, and strength. And that's a calling that goes to all fathers. But specifically, Paul is addressing you who are sitting here this morning as fathers, Christian, believing fathers. That does not mean that those who are not fathers this morning don't need to listen to the sermon, and specifically, wives. Wives, too, need to listen to the sermon this morning, and really all of us. And the reason for that is that wives, in particular, are the help meets of their husbands. They are those who are fit by God to live with and help their husbands. And there needs to be help in this regard. Helping fathers, helping husbands, encouraging husbands in carrying out this word. Not to provoke their children to wrath, but instead to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. As fathers and as husbands, we are not above the helpful criticism of our wives. We must not take the attitude that my wife can't say anything to me as it relates to the way that I'm operating in my home as a father. We can't go forth with that attitude because we need to know ourselves as sinners and know that our wives can help us in this regard and guide us too in this regard and lead us to the Word of God in this regard. And so the Word this morning is also for wives and all of us to help the fathers of the congregation carry out this particular Word. Beloved, what stands behind this text is the truth of God's covenant. Truth of God's covenant that is confirmed by what we read in the Scriptures, confirmed by what we see in the history of the church, and what is confirmed by our own experiences as families in the church. The truth of the covenant that God gives to His believing parents, covenant children. And we have that on display this morning. Believing parents, a believing father, expressing that faith by coming to the consistory room and saying, I desire that my child is baptized. I believe the promises of God, the amazing covenant promises of God that God gathers His church from believing parents and their seed. And therefore, this child, my child, is a covenant child and needs the sign of the covenant baptism. What stands behind the truth of this text is the doctrine of God's covenant and that God gathers His church from the line of believing parents. And what that means as it relates to fathers is incredibly significant. When we as fathers look at our children, and as mothers too, we say they are my children. These are the children that God has given to me. And we can use that language. But it's not entirely accurate because these children that God has given to us as fathers, first and foremost, are not ours. Look at your children by your side. They're not first and foremost yours. They're God's. And we love that truth. That's the covenant. Covenant mercies in generations. But that has everything to say about a passage like this, where the Word of God is directed to fathers, not to provoke their children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What that means with a passage like this is that as fathers, therefore, who do not have these children as our own first and foremost, but they belong first and foremost to God, what that means is that we are in positions of being servants. We're servants in the hands of God. Servants in the hands of God to care for, to lead, to guide, to direct, to raise these children, which are first and foremost God's, in the fear of His name. And that's the attitude that we need to have as fathers. I'm a servant in the hands of God with respect to these children. I'm an instrument in the hands of God to do exactly this, to raise these children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Beloved, that is a humbling thought. When you step back and simply meditate upon that truth, and we need to do that as parents, and we need to do that as fathers. Simply step back and think about that fact that this child is not mine, it's God's. And that I'm being used by God as an instrument, a weak instrument, a sinful instrument, and we'll get to that later in the sermon, to lead this child to the Lord. And what makes that all the more profound is when you think about Christ. And that's what we need to think about this morning. We need to think about Christ. This child that is not mine but God's is precious. And is so precious because of Christ. Christ thought a certain way about this child. Christ performed a certain act with respect to this child. And the thought that Christ had with respect to this child was, I love this child. And the act that Christ performed with respect to this child was, I die on the cross for this child. I'm going to go to hell itself for this child. That makes, beloved, the children that God has given us precious. And that makes this calling expressed in Ephesians 6 verse 4 a high, high responsibility. There is no higher responsibility in all of the world than this, to raise our children in the fear of God's name. And I say again, step back, take time to meditate upon that, and be impressed with the calling that God gives to us as parents, but specifically as we see this morning, to fathers. Calling comes to fathers, and that's significant. Paul makes that explicit in the text, Ephesians 6 verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's the primary responsibility of fathers to raise and lead the children to the Lord. There's a huge danger that we have as fathers. And the huge danger that we face as fathers is that we abdicate this responsibility. The most significant danger is that we abdicate it altogether, so that as fathers, we have no sense of headship in the home, no sense of leadership, no sense of a spiritual life in the home, no sense of bringing our children to the church, no sense of guiding them in their spiritual lives. Altogether, abdicating the responsibility to nurture and bring them up in the Lord. The more subtle danger that we face as fathers in this regard is that we simply outsource this responsibility. And that is a real danger that we face as fathers. And what I mean by outsource this responsibility is put things in place in the life of our children that takes the place of a deliberate, active involvement with our children as fathers doing this particular word, bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We send our children to the Christian schools, which in and of itself is a worthy thing to do, a demand of the covenant. We send our children to catechism on Mondays, which in and of itself is a most worthy thing to do, preaching for those children. We were determined when we got married to marry a woman in the Lord so that we have right by our side when we have children, a wife who loves the Lord, who is a keeper in the home, who raises the children by what she does in the fear of God's name. Once again, something in and of itself that is necessary and a calling for us to do as men and as fathers. But the danger for us as fathers is that when we have those things in place and when we use those resources that God has given us, our activity in this comes to a screeching halt. It stops right there. Christian school, church, mother, and nothing else. That is not the Word of God in this passage. It does not say, fathers, set things up in your life in order to bring up your children in the Lord. It comes to fathers specifically, and God says to you, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It falls upon fathers to have an active, direct involvement in the life of their children, and then the bringing up of them. A couple of things need to be true, therefore, for fathers, if we are going to carry out this particular word of God. In the first place, what is assumed here is that you as a father are right with the Lord. And we need to start there. In fact, whenever you talk about a responsibility that you have as it relates to your relationship with someone else, a calling that you have in your relationship with someone else, it starts with yourself in your relationship to God. A husband and a wife have a calling towards one another to love each other. A husband can't love a wife, and a wife can't love a husband unless they are first right with the Lord and loving the Lord as they are called to. The same thing is true here for fathers with their children. If you're going to carry out this Word of God faithfully, you yourself, as a father, must be right with the Lord. So that, among other things, you're doing this with the right motive and you're striving day by day to do it faithfully. Fathers, are you right with the Lord right now? And what I mean by that, are you living a God-glorifying, humble, penitent, Christ-centered life? Or is the opposite true? Where right now, as a father and as a husband, you're very far away from God. You have no sense of spirituality in your life. No devotional life, no prayer life. You're stuck in a rut of sin. You're overcome by the power of sin right now. So that you're living very independently from everybody else in your life. The Word of God to you this morning is get help. Seek someone to help you in your life so that you yourself are strong in the Lord for your own sake and for your own soul, but also for the sake of your children that God has given to you. If this Word is going to be carried out, beloved, we need strong, penitent, humble, God-glorifying, Christ-centered fathers. I didn't say perfect fathers. I said men of God who know themselves as sinners are penitent every single day and fighting against that sin. And if we're not that right now, if we're living far away from God, we need to go to God, seek forgiveness. We need to go to others, seek help, so that we are right with the Lord as fathers in the calling that we have to be heads in the home and heads particularly to our children. That in the first place stands behind a father carrying out this Word. In the second place, if this Word of God is going to be carried out, what needs to be true of fathers is that they are in the home and with the children. And both of those need to be there. In the home and with the children. That's assumed in this text. If you're provoking your children to wrath, that's the negative. And if you're bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, what's assumed by that is that you're with them. You're interacting with them. You have a life and you have a relationship with them as children. Fathers need to guard against independentism. As fathers, we have responsibilities. And if you picture your life as a pie chart, you have slices in that pie that represent different areas of your life. A huge slice of that pie is work. Every day you're called to work. That's a calling that comes from God. Work. Make money. Support your family. Support your church. Another slice of that pie, maybe for some of you as fathers, is responsibilities towards the church, towards school, meetings, all of that kind of stuff. Another slice of the pie is the stuff that you have to do as a father, as a head of the home, things that you just need to take care of in your everyday life as a father and as the head of the home. Another slice of that pie is your life in the home, with your wife, with your children. And yes, a word needs to be said about that other slice, namely your entertainment, your time not with your wife, not with your family, but with your friends, in doing the stuff that you like to do for pleasure in this life. And that's a legitimate slice. But what we have to guard against is that slice expanding as fathers. Because when that last slice expands, as I just described it, what shrinks necessarily is what stands behind this text. Namely, time in the home, time with your wife, time with your children. You have to go to work. You have to do that other stuff as a father. But when that one gets too big, what suffers is life in the home. Beloved, we need fathers who are in the home, who love to be in the home. We need fathers who are with our children all of the time. Our wives need fathers who are in the home, who love to be at home, who are supporting them as wives, and who have, therefore, strong, healthy relationships with their children. You can't carry out this Word of God unless you are in the home and with your children. There's a twofold responsibility here. Twofold calling. We're going to look at this morning just the negative. And the Lord willing, the next time we have a baptism, probably we'll develop the positive. The negative is, as Paul says, do not provoke your children to wrath. The idea there is that in your interaction with your children, you, by your actions, by your words, generate in their heart and in their spirit an anger, a resentment towards you as a father. And the idea of the text is that it's something that happens over a long period of time. When you behave a certain way, when you talk a certain way, when you interact with your children in a certain way, what that produces in the heart of your child is wrath and anger towards you as a father. It's like a pot of water boiling. At the beginning, it's still. But as the heat is applied, and as the heat is applied over time, and that's the actions of a father over time, what happens with that water is that it boils. And it boils more furiously as time goes on, and it boils over eventually, and that's a picture of the heart of the child. Over a long period of time, when this is the activity of a father, it generates wrath and resentment in the heart of that child. And beloved, the seriousness of this negative calling is that it goes against the very thing that God commands us to do. God commands us as fathers to bring our children to the Lord, to bring them to Jesus Christ, to lead them to the cross of Calvary every single day. But when this is done, it's just the opposite. It's leading them away from the Lord, away from the cross, away from Jesus Christ. And that's serious, therefore. And this is in each one of us as a father. And that's why I go back at this point to what I said at the beginning of the text. We can't look at this apart from the covenant mercies and the covenant faithfulness of God. Because this right here is in each one of us as a father. And in a certain way, we do this as fathers. But we need to remember, as we consider the specifics in this regard, God is gracious and God is merciful and God forgives and God overrides even the weaknesses of us as fathers, and He brings His children to Himself so that they love Him and serve Him and ultimately brings them to His home in heaven. But that doesn't mean we don't take this seriously. We do, because as I said, this is in us. And there are ways in which we can, as fathers, provoke our children to wrath. Here are a few specifics. Abusing children provokes them to wrath. Physical abuse, certainly. Verbal abuse, certainly as well. We're not above hearing a word about abuse as Christian fathers. And the reason that's true is that we all know what's in our hearts as fathers. We've been there with our children when at times it can be incredibly frustrating, persistent. We see our children, especially when they're young, in sin, and it can be frustrating that they are that way. And you get the beginning of what stands behind this. You feel in your heart that frustration. But then the fine line between being frustrated and angry is where it gets very tricky. But this is in our hearts. And beloved, we need to make sure that we are not certainly physically, but also verbally abusing the children that God has given us. We're called to use the rod. Proverbs makes it very clear. As fathers, we're called to use the rod with respect to our children. Called to spank our children, even inflict pain on our children. But we need to make sure that we're doing that in the right place. God has designed the human body in such a way that there is a right place where pain can be inflicted without lasting consequences. In the right place with the right spirit and attitude. It may be very well the case that we can spank as we are called to, not physically abuse when we're doing that, but right alongside that we are guilty of verbal abuse. When every time we spank our child as a father, what goes right along with that is a raging tirade against them, a screaming, a yelling, and in that rage you spank them. And the spanking may not be a physical abuse, but when it's coupled with that rage, that anger, that screaming, that yelling, it has an effect upon the children. As fathers, we can never, ever lose our cool with respect to our children. We need to be calm when we discipline, especially. We need to speak to them, not yell at them. Are there times when we can raise our voices? Certainly. But we need to be on our guard that as fathers, the perception that our children have of us is not one of screaming, yelling, tirades through the house when the children are disobedient. That has an effect upon the children. Abuse, physical or verbal, generates this in our children. And one of the ways to guard against that as fathers, and this is getting into the positive, of nurturing and admonishing them in the Lord, is always when there's the discipline to have prayer right alongside that. Prayer with the children. So that you say to them, I need to spank you because of what you did. But we're going to pray together right now. Or we're going to pray right after that. And when you continually do that, it guards against what I described earlier, the yelling and the screaming along with the spanking, because you can't do that while you have on your mind God and while you have on your mind praying to God. That's one thing that provokes children to wrath. In the second place, favoritism provokes children to wrath. The clear, by what you say, by what you do, setting one child that God has given to you as a father above all of the other children that God has given to you. Now, what I am not saying is that we need to do with one child the exact same thing with the next child. Every rule, every detail of your life with that child, everything you give them needs to be the exact same with the next child. That is simply not a reality when it comes to raising children. We raise each child in the best way and with wisdom for that particular child. But at the same time, favoritism is something that we need to guard against. Biblical examples of favoritism, none of which have the blessing of God placed upon them. Isaac and Rebekah. One favored Jacob, Rebekah, and the other, Isaac, favored Esau. Jacob with Joseph. Look at all of those biblical examples. And what that gendered was strife and turmoil in the family. And so also with respect to our children, we need to guard against showing favoritism. One child is always right. Can't even listen to that one child without having a preconceived notion that that child is right. One child is always given everything. One child is always yelled at or always disciplined, and the other is not. It generates a certain attitude among our children with respect to us as parents. In the third place, inconsistency provokes children to wrath. Inconsistency, for example, with respect to discipline. When one day you act a certain way and do a certain thing when it comes to discipline, but then the next day it's completely different, and then the child is altogether confused and doesn't know what to expect from you as a father. And a lifetime of that generates a certain attitude towards a father. If you're with your son in the living room, and he gets a little wild, and you tell him, son, calm down. No jumping around the furniture. Calm down. A few minutes pass, and he starts to get wild again. But this time, what you do is you kind of tackle him, and you kind of joke with him. Come on, what did I just say to you? Calm down. You can't do that here in the living room. And that's the way you deal with him that day. And then the next day rolls around, and he gets a little wild, and you tell him, calm down. You can't act that way right now here. And a few minutes later, he does the exact same thing. Yesterday, you kind of tackled with him and joked with him and said, stop it. But this day, you fly off the hook, and all of a sudden, he's grounded for 2 weeks, has 4 hours of yard work to do, and is disciplined very harshly. Altogether inconsistent in the way that you handle the child that God has given you. You do that over a lifetime, and it generates a certain attitude in the heart of that child. In the fourth place, what provokes children to wrath is a poor example. And this is inconsistency, not with respect to just your dealings with them, but inconsistency in what you say to them and what you do yourself as a father. If you think about it, is there ever an instance where you can say to your son or your daughter, do what I say, but don't do what I do? So that by what you're saying and by what you're doing, those two don't match up in any way. And what it comes down to is simply being a poor example to your children. You tell your son, your teenage son, don't use barnyard language, don't swear, don't talk that way, don't have a filthy mouth. Worthy thing to say and instruct your children in. But then you turn around and your teenage son knows that this is the way that you speak. When you're at work every day, when you're getting frustrated with something, you know what comes out of their mouth as a father. Or you tell your son or your daughter at home, get off the phones, get off the technology. When we're here at home, we're here at home, we're with each other. We're fellowshipping with each other. Don't put your face in that device 24/7, especially when we're at home. But then you turn around and you yourself, as a father, are guilty of it. Not for work, not because it's legitimate, but simply because you're doing it. That says something to the child. Or you tell your teenagers, don't watch this stuff, don't watch movies, don't watch these particular TV shows. But then they look on the TV and they look at what's DVR'd and they know that when they go to bed, this is what you're watching as parents. Inconsistencies in what you say and what you do, a poor example, provokes your children to wrath. A word to the children, briefly. Everything that I just said, especially those who are older and mature, does not give you the right to be angry. Everything that I just said is not an excuse for you to act a certain way towards your parents and to have a certain attitude. Never are there excuses for sin. You could never blame someone else for the sins that you are walking in. You stand before God as an individual. And you have a calling to love. To love even your Father, to love your Heavenly Father, to live a certain way. Jesus makes that very clear in His ministry, that you can't blame others for the sins that you are walking in. This is the word to fathers this morning. By what you do, by how you live, do not provoke your children to wrath. Beloved, where does this leave us after you come to a consideration of this with some specific examples and as you examine your own heart? It leads us to see that we're sinners as fathers. This is humbling. It certainly is. When you stand before this Word of God honestly, it must convict us of our sins. And we need to say with the psalmist in this regard, "Search me, O Lord. Help me to see if there are things in my life that are provoking my child to wrath." And so our response to this as fathers is a fleeing to the cross, of acknowledging, "This is me in part, and I need help, O God, to be faithful in my calling with respect to this negative part, and as we'll see later, with respect to the positive." And you cast those sins upon the cross of Christ and know that there is forgiveness. And yes, this too, you go to your children at times and you say to them, "I'm sorry. I, as a father, did not treat you in the way that I should have. And I ask for your forgiveness, my son or my daughter, for what I have done." And the striking thing about that is not only is that your responsibility, we're not above that as parents, but the striking thing about that is that that act in and of itself is what leads to doing the second part of the text. Raising them, bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, you're teaching them through that. You're teaching them that we're all sinners. You're teaching them that you must, in your life as a child, when you sin against others, ask for forgiveness and confess that sin to them when you do that. But that's what we need to respond to and how we need to respond in this text. Confession to God where we have fallen short, but also, at times, confession to our children as well. And desire, in the second place, to go forward fulfilling this word to the best of our ability, because we want our children to see in us as a father a reflection of our Heavenly Father. And when we provoke our children to wrath, they're not seeing in us a picture of our Father in heaven. And that's what we desire more than anything else, that in our lifetime with our children, they have a small picture. It's a weak picture, but a picture nonetheless of what their Heavenly Father does to them. Because what I just described is not true of God our Father. God our Father does not abuse us. God our Father does not favor one over the other. Imagine that. If God our Father showed favoritism towards those in the church, He's no respecter of persons. God our Father is never inconsistent. He's immutable. He never changes. And God our Father is our perfect example in heaven. Beloved, we want our children to see in us as fathers a reflection of our Heavenly Father. And we stand before this Word of God and we say to ourselves, "Help me, O God, Help me to take this responsibility seriously. Help me to be a faithful servant in thy hand. Help me not to provoke my children to wrath, but help me, as we will see next time, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and say fervently, O God, forgive the sins that I commit, override them, and lead my children to thee, my God. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, bless this word that we considered this morning. Bless the fathers who are present. May it be a good word for them, a helpful word in what it means to bring their children up in the fear of thy name. Forgive the sins that we have committed. Forgive those sins that we commit in raising our children. For Jesus' sake do we pray. Amen.